Hey folks, Tim Platt here. Welcome to The Circle of Life, Part 2, Episode 3, with Wally Chartrand at the table. If you've been following along in this podcast series, you might be far enough in that you're beginning to be confused about all the parts and pieces. So just a quick word of explanation. Part 1 is Sunday 1. We had to divide it into two parts because of size restrictions on what we could post for podcast length. Part 2 is Sunday 2. We've had to divide that into episodes 3, 4, and 5. This is episode 3, and in this episode, Wally begins with a recap of episodes 1 and 2. So if you want the condensed version of the history, of the teachings, and also an overview of some of the issues in Indigenous settler and Indigenous colonizer relations, which Wally covered in the first two episodes, this is a nice compact way to get that, and also to get some context for Wally's personal journey with these teachings, which he will unpack in episodes 4 and 5. I hope that helped, not hindered. In any case, here is Wally with episode 3.
So again, before we begin, I just wanted to share a song to start our meeting together. So just bear with me just for a little bit. So the song I sang just now, it's a sister to the song, one of the songs I sang for all of us to begin our last session together last week. If you recall, last week I sang a bear song, and in that song the words were simple, Manitumakwa Kabinaguzian, Manitumakwa Pijenimishinamwe said. But it was through that song last week that we acknowledged that we could see those grandmother, grandfather spirits. We could see them walking towards us from all four directions. And when I say grandmother, grandfather spirits, I'm always talking about our ancestors that have already gone ahead of us. So in that sense, we could see them walking towards us. And as we see them walking towards us, we said to them, Manitumakwa Bijenimishinamwe said. We said to them, come and bless us. But it was through that song that we acknowledged that every one of us, from time to time, we all need healing. Healing in our thinking, the way we think about others, ourselves, about life. Sometimes our bodies also need healing. Sometimes our spirit, it too, might need that healing. So that was part of why I sang that song last week when we came together. But also, it's through that song that we also acknowledge that we all have that gift as well. And that's that gift to heal others. Sometimes it's how we choose to use our words. Sometimes it's how, you know, maybe just takes a hug. Sometimes maybe all it takes is an ear, right? But it was through that song that we acknowledged that. Yeah? So this bear song that I just sang for you, a second bear song, the words in this song are even a little bit easier. The words are pipiti again, manitumakwa. But it's through this song that we now acknowledge that those grandmothers, those grandfathers, now they've reached all four doorways. And as we see them standing there looking in on us, we say to them, come in, come in, come in, we say. My mind, it's ready for that healing, come in. My body, it too is ready, come in. My spirit is ready, come in. Yeah? So in that sense, what we've done is We've welcomed them, right, into our physical spaces, right? All our ancestors. So if you can take a moment to just imagine that, right? All those people that have gone ahead of us, right? Imagine them sitting around the room with us, eh? Listening, being in their presence, right? In our presence. And just imagining, you know, that they're here not only just to listen, but also to help and to guide us as well. So that was why I sang that song. It's an invitation song to come in, right? So as we begin our morning, one of the things I wanted to do also in that is just to maybe just do a quick review of what I shared with you last week when we were together. So I brought this medicine wheel out in that. But us, we call it a circle of life in that teachings. Eh? So that's part of what I shared with you last week when we were together. And I began over here with these first nine grandfathers on the outside of the circle. And what they represent is those first 9 months in our mother's womb. And how long ago in that, there was teachings here for us men, teaching here for women as well, to help us prepare for this part of the journey. So I shared with you some teachings from that last time we came together. These next nine grandfathers over here, they represent that next stage of life after we come out of our mother's womb. And this one here we call that stage of great learning, because everything we learn along here prepares us the rest of that way. And again, long time ago, there was teachings here for little boys, for little girls, and also for those two spirit as well. There was teachings there for them. So one of the teachings I shared with you last week was that very, very first teaching that we all learn as soon as we're born, and that's that teaching of loss and grief, right? So I shared that with you last week, and what I meant by that is when a baby is born, the first thing they do is they cry, eh? And the reason they say is because they've experienced loss and grief. They just came out of this part of their journey where it was warm, safe, all their needs were being met. And then all of a sudden they come into this cold world, right? With strange noises, blurry figures and all that. Sometimes that can be scary for some, right? But anyways, they say that's the very, very first teaching we all learn. And it's that teaching that helps us along the way, because throughout life, we're all going to experience different types of losses, and we're all going to grieve in different ways along our journey, throughout our whole journey. Eh? So, you know, that's why that's a good teaching, right? And to begin with, as we begin this journey. So anyways, I shared some of those teachings with you over here. These next seven grandfathers, the white ones, those ones represent that those teenage years, the youth years, right? But us, we call it the fast life, because we get over there somewhere, we want to be over there, can't tell me what to do, right? But again, I shared with you last time we were together that there was always teachings here for boys ready to be men, girls ready to be women, and again, also for those two spirits. So one of the teachings I shared with you, for example, was by the time that boy maybe was 14, 15, maybe 16, he already belonged to one of the societies within his community, whether that was the hunting society, medicine society, maybe even the warrior society. But what that taught us, what it teaches us in that, is that we always, you know, had a place for our youth within our families, within our communities. Something, unfortunately, we don't do it today, because instead we push our youth to the side, and then we wonder at the end of the day why sometimes they behave the way they do. Maybe that's part of it, right? But I shared some of those teachings with you last time. And over here with these next grandfathers, the yellow ones, those ones represent those adult years, but us, we call it that stage of great responsibility. Yeah? So I shared some teachings there with you again last time we were together, and how it is that we all have a role and a responsibility when we come to this stage of our lives, right? So I shared some of those teachings with you last time. And then these blue ones over here, that last stage of life, the elder stage, but us, we call it that stage of great wisdom, because we get over here somewhere, now all of a sudden we have this wealth of knowledge, right? Because again, we've gone through our journey and we've learned all those things that we need to learn, right? So by the time we get over here, again, we become the teachers, right? It's up to us to pass that knowledge on. So I shared a little bit of that with you last time we came together. And then I also shared what these grandfathers at the centers, the two centers, represent. This first one over here, this line, it represents that we call it in our language, in Ojibwe, we call it Minupimat Zien, we call it. We call it the good life. But this is that, you know, walk we do when we practice those seven sacred teachings of love, respect, honesty, humility, courage, wisdom, and truth. They say when we walk that way, we're walking upon this road. That other road, we call it Majimikana, the bad road. And this is when we abuse alcohol, drugs, family violence, lying, stealing, all those things. When we're doing that, they say we're walking upon this road. But life is about balance, right? In the sense in that the old people, they tell us just as there's teachings on this path, there's also teachings over here. So what I shared with you last time, for example, alcohol, cocaine, heroin, those are all medicines, right? Anything that comes from the earth is a medicine, but what happens when we don't respect that medicine? Sometimes it can come and hurt us, right? And that's sometimes what we see in our families, in our community, is people haven't respected those medicines. So I shared a little bit of that with you last time. I also shared that, you know, to walk this journey, to walk completely around that circle, sometimes it takes up to 100 years to walk that circle. They say to live a full life. So I shared a little bit about that. I also shared the first half of the circle over here, how it represents that sweat lodge ceremony, right? That physical structure of being in a sweat lodge. And in that lodge, I shared with you that willows that make up that lodge is a representation of our mother's ribs, right? But also in every lodge, most lodges, you'll notice there's also four rings that encircle that lodge, right? And that's what these next four grandfathers represented, and how I shared with you those four levels of life, this physical level, that heaven level or spirit world level, right? And even two levels after that. So I shared that with you last time. And I also then shared with you this other half of the circle, which is a representation of all our ancestors. When we have ceremony, they too are always having ceremony, right? In that sense, they complete that circle. And in that lodge, it too has four rings, which is these representation of the next four grandfathers over here, which represent those four levels we've already traveled. And to understand that teaching, we don't have to look very far. All we really have to do is look at the little ones, because our little ones still have that connection. Eh? They still, you know, we see it in the sense that when they're playing with their imaginary friends, to us, we don't see anybody. But for our children, they can still see because they have that connection, right? So I shared that with you last time we came together, and also shared with you that, you know, if it takes 100 years to walk around that circle, and if there's four levels of life that we have to travel, but we've already traveled four levels, then that must mean we walk around that circle eight times. So I shared a little bit about that last time. Well, what travels that eight times? Well, we know that our body doesn't, we know that our mind doesn't, right? But the one that travels that eight times is the spirit. Right? And that's the one we neglect the most, right? And that we're always constantly being reminded, especially by our elders, to always feed that spirit. And we do that in many different ways throughout the day, throughout our journey. So it's important to feed that spirit always. What I also shared with you last time when we came together, I don't have them here in front of me today because I'm doing something a little bit different, but I also had the four sacred medicines here last time we came together. The first medicine I had over here was that sage, and I shared a very quick teaching with you in regards to how it's a representation of women, that it belongs to the women. So I shared that with you, and that usually represents three things: wisdom, strength, and clarity, because it's the women that carry those things for us, right? So again, that's what that medicine usually represents. And usually when we use sage, we smudge with it, right? And it's about cleaning our space, right? In terms of cleaning that mind, cleaning that body, and cleaning that spirit. But one of the things I just wanted to share with you, and this is something I was thinking about this morning, was You know, when we use sage, it's also very important that not only do we clean ourselves, but when we light that smudge, it also cleans the space that we're in, whatever space that might be in sometimes, right? Physical space, right? Today we're at my partner's home here in Winnipeg, and we smudged before we began this broadcast, for example. But what that represents for me is this place has a spirit too, just like I have a spirit, just like you have a spirit. This physical space also has a spirit, and sometimes we need to be able to clean that spirit, and then it sets a different tone, right, in terms of what our experience is going to be, working or living or playing within that space. So that's part of how we use sage as well. Over here I had cedar medicine, and how I shared with you that that's one of those protective medicines, right? That's that medicine we use to take away negativity in our thinking, in our body, in our spirit, and to invite some positiveness back, right? And I shared with you that sometimes we'll chew it and we'll eat it, sometimes we'll burn it and smudge with it as well, or sometimes we'll also maybe make it into a tea and we'll drink it, right? So I shared with you that that teaching last time. And over here I had some tobacco, and that there's two teachings that comes with tobacco. Anytime we ask for something, we always offer tobacco. Anytime we give thanks, we offer tobacco. And those are the two teachings that comes with tobacco. And lastly, I had sweetgrass, a braid of sweetgrass over here, and how that medicine represents kindness, right? That's that medicine we use to invite kindness, and how we think about others, ourselves, about life, to invite kindness back into our body and into our spirit. Usually we use 21 strands to make a braid. We divide them into 7, 7, and 7. The first 7 represent the generations behind us. Who we are, what we are, is because of our relatives. They're the ones that made all the trails that we're walking today. The next 7, they represent those 7 teachings. We all hear about them. Our children are learning about them in school today. And how it is that those 7 teachings are like 7 sacred laws in terms of how it is we need to choose to walk in our relationships with everybody else around us. So I shared that with you a little bit last week. But how, again, important it is that those teachings always have to start from within. Because, again, how can I love you if I don't first learn to love myself? How can I respect you if I am not even respectful to my own self? How can I tell you the truth if I'm not willing to tell myself the truth, right? So what they mean is that those teachings always have to start from within. The last 3 or 7 strands, the third part of that braid, those ones represent those generations ahead of us, my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, right? Why are they important? Well, of course, what we do to Mother Earth today is one day going to affect them. And again, that circle that's around me, is that the same one I want to pass on to them? Especially if my circle involves alcohol, drug abuse, family violence, all those kinds of things, is that what I want to pass on to them? And sometimes it's going to be up to us to break those cycles, right? So anyways, we put those 21 strands together and we make that one braid of sweetgrass, right? And those 3 braids, they represent yesterday, today, tomorrow, mind, body, and spirit, man, woman, child, man, woman, creator, God. And I shared with you a very quick story in regards to my own son last time as well, in regards to that connection with that braid. And what I shared with you was that when he was 4 years old, he already knew that teaching, because I would take time to braid his hair. And as I'd be braiding his hair, I would ask him, you know, what does your braid represent? Sweetgrass? Cool. What does sweetgrass represent? Kindness. Oh, that's good, my boy. And what does each of these 3 braids represent? My mind, my body, my spirit. Awesome. What are you going to do today at school, at daycare, Zungade? Misko, I should say. And he'd always say, Dad, I'll be kind to my mind. I'll be kind to my body. I'll be kind to my spirit. What's going to happen if you do that, Misko? He'd say, Dad, I'll be strong. Because that's the second teaching that comes with that particular medicine. It's through our kindness that we're most strong, right? All of us can lift our fists at somebody else. All of us can use our words to hurt somebody, right? To put them down. But when we have somebody in our face trying to do the same and to still love, respect, and to still be kind to that person, sometimes can take a lot of strength. But that's what that medicine teaches us, right? So I shared a little bit about that with you last time. The other thing I shared with you was this center grandfather over here, the center of the circle. And how I related to him was I then began talking with you about the residential school era, how here on Turtle Island, we all know it as Canada, right? How it is here on Turtle Island that beginning over 150 years ago, that our Canadian government, the RCMP, and through the churches, took our children away from that sacred hoop, from all those relationships that they had had with their parents, grandparents, all their relatives, the whole community, right? And how they began stripping away from that child all of those relationships, right? Beginning physically, right, by physical removal, taking away their language, right? Taking away all those relationships that they may have had, right down to their belief systems, right? Their religious systems in that, right? Or beliefs. And how after stripping away from those children for 7 years, 5 years, 11 years, 14 years, some of them, until one day they had forgotten who they were, where it is that they had come from. And when that time came, they told that child to go back then, right? But what that did in that is it severed those relationships, right? Because when that child returned, that child could no longer communicate in his language, right? To his grandparents, who were the teachers in his family, right? He could no longer communicate back because they no longer understood each other because they spoke the language, but now he only spoke English, for example, right? And when that boy was returned to his family, he looked down on his parents because now his parents also believed in this way, right? But him, he believed in this way, right? So he became ashamed of his parents, right? So again, that relationship was severed in that way. And today, we still feel those effects of that residential school system. Even though I may not have attended, even though my children may not have attended residential school, right? But we're still all impacted by that in terms of how it was that we were raised or not raised, right? Because of those severance of those relationships and how they were interrupted. So we see that today in our families and our communities is that relationships have been affected. So part of what I shared with you last week as part of that is I did the whole colonization aspect as well, that history, right? So we combined almost 500 years of history into an hour last week, or barely an hour, just again to share and to show some of those impacts. But one of the things I was hoping for from last week in that, two things I was hoping for. Number one in that is the richness of indigenous culture and identity in that. And I think that was important for me to be able to demonstrate and to show that. And I hope I did that in the sense in that in front of me, I have, 40 some rocks, right? Stones. And they're all different shapes and sizes. And they're all different colors, right? And they're all, put out in a format of some sort, right? But there's teachings for each of these. There's all kinds of stories and teachings in that. Like we could spend the whole day, we could spend the whole week talking about those, right? That's how rich our culture is. And none of that is written in these stones, right? In terms of a book, right? But what I wanted to share with you, for us to experience is that richness, that richness of, those teachings or some of those teachings. Just a little bit of them I shared with you, right? And again, the same with those medicines, right? To us, we see plants, right? We see a cedar plant, we see sage plant, a tobacco plant, and a sweetgrass plant, right? But there's whole teaching stories that are related to those. So I wanted to show you that richness of who we are as indigenous people. Because again, growing up, I learned that I was a savage, right? I learned that I was a savage in that. And that really had an impact on me, right? to know or to believe that I was a savage in that, right? So that's why, again, that's important for us to show our children that we're much more than just that, right? And part of that is, you know, through those histories. There's paintings all over Turtle Island, all over different, along lakes, along canyons and so forth, all across in that, pictographs, right? That tell whole stories of our histories, right, as Indigenous people. So again, that's part of what I wanted to share. Second last thing I wanted to share also, why I shared what I did in the way I did, was not so much, you know, that I wanted to make anybody feel guilty or ashamed because of our histories, right? But I wanted to remind us that we didn't have anything to do with that. You didn't have anything to do with that directly. But at the same time, I want us to wake up, right? To wake up, because we're always talking about, you know, reconciliation. We're talking about truth and reconciliation. Well, that was part of it, right? And sometimes we have to be able to speak our truth first, right? Before we begin that process of reconciliation. But what it's not about making anybody feel ashamed or guilty or any of that, right? Because we can't take any of that back. That's history. And that's been written already. We can't change it, right? But we can do something today. Right? We can teach our children today, right? So that hopefully, you know, we start mending those relationships once again and that. Right? So that was part of what I shared with you last time. Last thing I did last time also is that I talk to you about how we can become unbalanced sometimes, eh, along this journey. And how I did that was sometimes it can happen over here before we're even born, especially if our mother maybe abuses alcohol or drugs. Today we know that children are being born with what they call fetal alcohol syndrome, fetal alcohol effects. Or maybe it's not even her, maybe it's him, you know, in terms of how he treats her, the, you know, hits her, you know, in the wrong place sometimes. And today we know that children are born with head injuries, physical injuries, mental injuries, right? And that can affect them. Sometimes we can become unbalanced over here. And what I shared with you was that sometimes it's our children that are the most vulnerable, right, to victimization. And when victimization happens, it can affect them. Sometimes it can happen to us over here in those fast life years, right? How it is sometimes, you know, because we're too busy living that fast life, we make decisions without thinking through the consequences of those decisions. And when we do that, sometimes those decisions we make can affect us the rest of that way. Sometimes I also shared we can become unbalanced over here. And today we see that some of our parents, they're not in balance in the sense in that, that they've forgotten their roles and their responsibilities when it comes to their children, right? And we don't have to look very far. Today we know that there's thousands and thousands of children that are in that child welfare system across Turtle Island. And that's because, you know, they've forgotten their roles and responsibilities. And over here, even when that elder stage, when we come to that stage of great wisdom, again, some of us can become unbalanced there as well, in the sense in that, that sometimes it's our elders that are doing some of that victimization. Eh? And we're not immune to it, in the sense in that, that it can also even happen in our own ceremonies as Indigenous people, where that woman will come out of that lodge and she'll say, ah, that elder was touching me in there, right? Because some of our elders, they too are running ceremony, but they haven't done that healing yet. Eh? They're not in balance. So the key, they tell us, is to try and walk as balanced as we can, right? That's the key, we're told to do. Life is difficult already, right? But it's even more difficult when we're trying to walk it this way. So that kind of brings us to where we are today.